Okay, that's the presentation part. Now we're going to kind of switch gears to get into the Word. The topic here is God is a good father, and his children have privilege and responsibilities. It's been on my heart a lot. And read a couple verses, introductory passages to springboard us into the message. And then pray, and then hopefully be able to have time to touch on a few things from the book of Ephesians. So I'm going to read to you from Luke 11. You may want to stay just in Ephesians, but I'm going to quickly go to Luke 11, verse 9. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. He who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If then, being evil, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And in Matthew, that same account says, how much more will your heavenly Father give good things to those who ask him? We're talking about this morning about God being a good father. And then John 15, at the Lord's Supper, Dale went to John 15, and I was rejoicing. These are some of the verses that I wanted to share. We read this morning, this is my commandment, that you love one another, verse 12. And then, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and your fruit should remain, and that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. And then one more verse in Psalm 145. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercy over all his works. And let's ask the Lord's blessing again. Our God and Father, we thank you that we can just even call you our Father. And that's, we recognize that it's through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we've been adopted into his family. And so we're so glad to be part of the family of God. And we recognize that it comes with a lot of amazing privileges. It blows our mind to think of all the blessings, but there's lots of responsibility as well. So, Father, as we think about you this morning, help us to appreciate you as a Father and give us understanding. In Jesus' name. So, God is a good Father. We heard you sing about that. He's very gracious and good. He desires intimacy with his children. And his children have amazing privileges, but great responsibility. And we're going to read some of these things in Ephesians. And I just noticed that, unless I'm completely deceived myself or I've read in this completely wrong, I believe that that's a theme throughout, one of the themes throughout the book of Ephesians, is God is a father. He's a good father. Paul, in speaking to the elders of Ephesus, said, the Lord Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And God is a father, and he's generous, and he's so good. And so we read that in opening verses of Ephesians. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and the faithful in Christ Jesus. We see that his children are called saints. And that's linked with faith. In order to have faith, to be a saint, you need to have faith. When you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're saved, you're born again, and you become a saint, you become a child of His. So sainthood, we see, is linked with faith. And how do you become a child of God? I hope I don't really mess this up, but in one sense, all people everywhere are children of God. Now hear me out here, because remember in Acts 17, Paul said to the people of Athens that one of your poets said, we are all the offspring of God, and he didn't deny that. So it says there's everyone in the world is an offspring of God because they're made in His image. They have the breath of life, like the breath of life. So they're all offspring. That's a different word than being a birth child. So there's a very distinction here. I want to make just the distinction there. When I talk about children, in the Ephesians talk about children of disobedience and children of wrath. Okay, those aren't birth children of God. Okay, there's children, but then there's birth children, adopted into His family, people that have been born again. So if that is not clear as mud, you can just look in your concordance of those verses in Acts 17. There's a different word there than the verses in John 1:11, which says that as many as received Lord Jesus Christ, which is receive the Lord Jesus Christ, believe in Him, that is the thing. It says, to them He gave the right to become children of God. To those that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, those that receive Him, those are the people that are children of God. And then those children of God are saints. You need to be born again. Grace to you and peace from God our Father. Again, grace and peace from God the Father, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. May He be adored. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. God is so good. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. We talk about how good God is. He wants to give you the best. And He has given you the best. He's given you everything that He has. He's blessed you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Okay? Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. I just want to say that this is all talking about people that are in Christ. It's in Him, in Him, in Him, in Him. And I don't want to stir up controversy. I know that sometimes this verse comes in, but those that choose Christ, those that receive Him, those that are His children, are going to be holy and without blame before Him in love. That's how I read that. It's not to salvation, but for blessing that election is. It's for Christians. So, when you're in Christ, when you're a child of God, you are holy and without blame before Him. That is a blessing. That's what His purpose in Christ was. Those that receive His Son are going to be holy and without blame before Him. Now and forever, when He sees His child, He sees us through the Lord Jesus Christ. We are in Him, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. So that's a blessing that God has given, God the Father, having predestined us to adoption as sons. That's determined that where if you believe in Christ, you're going to be adopted into His family. You're going to be His child. So we talk about this idea of God being a good father. Well, when we receive Christ, we're adopted as sons. We're in Him. And so we see that here. Adopted as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. And we see that over and over again in Ephesians. To the good pleasure of His will, according to the good purpose which He purposed in Himself. According to the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. God is so good. According to His good purpose, good pleasure which He purposed in Himself. He has satisfaction, delight, kindness, goodwill, desire for His children. God is just so good. says, to the praise of the glory of His grace. And we see the praise to the glory of His grace three times in the first chapter. One time directed to the Father, one time directed to the Son, one time directed to the Holy Spirit. So you see how you see that connection in there as well. He's got such a heart of love. It says, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. He made us accepted in Him, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. You have such a heart of love. According to the riches of His grace. He's such a good Father. He had the riches of His grace, by which He made abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to the good pleasure which He purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both are which are in heaven and with are in earth, which are on earth in Him. And that's why I read the verse in John 15, because remember Jesus said He didn't call us servants but His friends, because He told us what He's doing. And as children, he lets us know what He's doing in the world. And it's, the adoption is as if that's something really that's ultimately future, when it's Son placing, whereas the children enter into the family business and reign with Him forever. So that's like when you see a business title that says like Morgan and Sons, you know that the sons are running the business with Dad. And so that's what, as children, we get to be a part of. We get to run the universe with God, the Father, as His children. And so that ultimately is future, which we will need new glorified bodies to handle all that weight of responsibility. But now, on earth, we get a little taste of it. We get to reign with Him down here as much as we can in these bodies. I'm on verse 11 here. In Him we also obtained an inheritance. Again, this idea of being a child of God and an inheritance. That's a word that's different than the other word that's inheritance down there. But this word here speaks more of privilege. Again, it says predestinated according to the purpose of Him who works all things to the counsel of His will. So what's predestined? The inheritance. Those that trust in Christ. That we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. It says in Him, verse 13, you also trusted. Verse 12, remember it said trusted? In Him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom having believed. So three times right there, trusted, believed. And that is how we become children of God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Having trusted, we're sealed with the Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. Verse 15. I'm going to read verse 15 to verse 21 altogether. And this is Paul's prayer. And I think maybe we should try and pray more of Paul's prayers. This would be a good exercise in our prayer meetings. Therefore, I also, after I've heard of your faith, again, emphasizing faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. Again, we have the idea of faith and sainthood. Together. Do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but that which is to come. And He's put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is body, the full, is it, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. So in verses 15 to 21, we see that he is our Father, the Father of glory, it said. We're his inheritance. The hope of his calling. What is the hope of his calling? Well, I really believe, I don't know if I can say fully, but because I don't know very much, but part of that is being his child. The hope of his calling. We get to be his children and reign with him now and forever. That's a wonderful hope. We may know what that is. And he wants us to know how to conduct ourselves down here. He hasn't made us this. He's revealed his will to us. And we may know what is the hope of his calling. We can know that. The riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints. It says his inheritance in the saints. So Christ's inheritance from God the Father is the saints. You know, we have an inheritance, but his inheritance is the saints. And God help us really understand what that all means. But that he desires to reign in and through us forever. That's his will. Co-heirs with Christ. He provides also power and the resources needed. It says that right there. Raised us up. And then just a couple contrasting thoughts here in Ephesians about other children. Because you see here in chapter 2, it says, children, sons of disobedience, children of wrath, as I've mentioned. Go to chapter 4. No longer children, tossed to and fro, carried about, but with every wind of doctrine by trickery of men. So there's different children here. And there's also in chapter 5, verse 6, let no one deceive you with empty words, because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. So we see a little bit of a comparison here from God's adopted children to other children that the wrath of God are upon. Just want to make mention of that. The best I could do at this point with the time running out is just give you kind of a little appetite to go through Ephesians and thinking about that theme. And and hopefully you can be blessed by your own study of the Word. But to wrap it up, I'm going to speed through a couple more verses in that regarding that theme. Is verse 13 of chapter 2. But of course, in thinking of God being a good father, we have to go to verse 4 of chapter 2. He is rich in mercy, has great love wherewith he loved us. You know, exceeding riches of his grace and kindness. By grace you are saved. God is so good. And verse 13, now in Christ Jesus, you who are far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. And God really desires intimacy with his children. He wants us, he's at hand actually. He's with us and he's brought us near. God has brought us near. It said in verse 18 of chapter 2, for through him, through Christ, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. We all access to God by one Spirit. So he's removed any obstacle out of the way for us to come to him. We have access to God. And chapter 3, verse 2, we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Chapter 3, verse 14, another prayer of Paul's. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant to you, according to the riches of his glory, be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. God wants you to be filled with his fullness. And me, like, I want to enter into the, I'm like, this message is more for me. Like, I want to enter into the inheritance that God has for me and the fullness of God I've hardly been a Christian 15 years, and I feel like I hardly know God. He says in his word that he wants to fill me with his fullness. And it's like, if you go back to Kadesh Barnea, you guys know Kadesh? Any ring any bells? It's one of the most significant events in the Old Testament. The Israelites, went to Kadesh, and they didn't believe God, and they refused to go in the land. And they ended up traveling the wilderness, except for two people. Well, I don't want to go die in the wilderness. And I want to enter into the inheritance God has promised. And so I don't know if you guys want to come, but let's go. And otherwise, the Lord might as well just strike us dead. Seriously. God's prayer, Paul's prayer is this: he may be filled with all the fullness of God. We see that in that prayer here. He's a rich father, he's a powerful father, he's a loving father, and he wants to fill us. In Christ, all the fullness of God dwells. In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And it says that God wants to fill the church with his fullness as well. So God really, we're in him. He's raised us up, and we're in him, so we get to reign actually as co-heir with Christ. And God help us really understand what that all means. Chapter 4, verse 1, as children, this is actually starts to get practical, as children, to walk worthy of the calling wherewith you were called, we bear the family name. So to walk worthy, we're representing God here on earth, to walk worthy. And verse 6, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Carrying the theme through here, verse 15 of chapter 4, speaking the truth in love that you may grow up. You know, there's those two words there, grow up. You know, as children, we want them to grow up. And God wants us to grow up. Verse 20, learned, heard, taught, heard him, taught by him, heard him. So the Father wants to instruct us. The Father is a good Father, and he has a lot more for us than we're taking advantage of, definitely. Yeah, chapter 5, be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love. Chapter 5, verse 8, walk as children of light. Verse 10, find out what is acceptable to the Lord. Find out what is acceptable to the Lord. Find that out. What is acceptable to the Lord? Verse 17, understand what the will of the Lord is. You know, that's something that I want my children to know, for them to really understand what their father's will is. It says, find out, understand what the will of the Lord is. He's a father. He wants to teach us. Verse 20, chapter 5. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. So we see that as we're in a family too. The family relationship is one toward one another, and submitting to one another, and we're all part of the family. So there's implications there. There was some advice given to me to say, you know, stand up, speak up, shut up, sit down. So now we're at the point where we're shutting up, and just trust that somehow, some of those verses in Ephesians, some of those things that were speaking to me, I'm just really appreciating God the Father, and I'm in Him, and I'm trying to kind of communicate that, and hopefully God, by His Spirit, and it will only be God that would, if you're somehow blessed by that little study in Ephesians, then that's all the Lord. So just let's give thanks again and pray. Father, we thank you again for this time and for this little study in Ephesians and for the opportunity to come and share about what you're doing at camp, and help us to be represent you as dear children. We know you love us. Help us to know how much you love us. Think of the verse that goes, song goes, how deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that you should give your only Son to make a wretch his treasure. So we're thankful. Help us to bask in it as the prodigal returned home and was making merry and was glad with the Father. Father, we have great responsibilities as well, and we just want to, first of all, enjoy you, but help us to grow up, to learn and hear him, to know what your will is for our lives. Thank you for your group here in the family of God, and we just pray a blessing on them in the name of Jesus.